flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. A lot of fun stuff. Kyle Draper just joined us from Sacktown Sports, of course, Kings pre- and post-game. Kenny and D-Lo, don't be jealous. We'll get you guys later. Don't worry. We got plenty of Kings games. Anthony Slater, 30 minutes. 30 minutes, Anthony Slater, or actually 27 minutes if we break on time. Anthony Slater on the board with us as we talk Warriors and Kings. Big basketball show for the next couple hours here. By the way, I was just reading Eric Branch's article during the break in the Chronicle about the 49ers, and he had his offseason blueprint. Hurry up and pay Brock Purdy, then draft him protection. They also wanted to see the Niners make a splash at corner while retaining Dre Greenlaw as the linebacker position. So a lot going on with the 49ers. We're still waiting to see who's going to be a defense coordinator for the 49ers. Could be Brandon Staley. Anybody want that? Some people hold my boy Bo P online. 42 at halftime against the Raiders. 63-21 final score. Hell no, we ain't ready for Brandon Staley.
No!
What will we be outraged more about? Brandon Staley being in D.C., the Warriors not making a trade. I guess we're not outraged anymore about the Giants
or playing with house money. Nick still being with the organization.
Yeah.
that actually brings up something. So
I'm actually excited about the Giants.
The Niners, they won 30 years ago, so it's such a, almost impossible to answer that question. And we got so greedy, right? We were so spoiled. We just didn't realize. Thought it was going to go on forever. The Giants. How long did it take for the championship aura, the aura to wear off of the fan base, the happiness, the satisfaction, all of that? I'm like, of course there was a restlessness. We want to win more. We want to keep competing, you know? I said forever, just give me one. Well, then we got one. And you know what I wanted? I wanted them to trade for Beltran at the deadline, and I wanted to win a second one. And then they won in 2012. And it's like, all right, let's do whatever it takes to win a third one, and then a fourth one, and a fifth. So I admit I'm at the forefront of being, greedy. I admit that. But, like, the real championship aura that was around the team and just the happiness, the general happiness from the fan base was still there for a couple of years afterwards. When do you think it wore off for the Giants? Fully wore off. We are restless.
Bochy's last year. It was Bochy's last year, 2018?
2018. So about four or five years.
Yeah, I think because 2016 you still had it. It was the – every even year, it's our time. Every even year. So 2016, they go play the Cubs. Okay. And then 2017, there was a lot of hope because, oh, wow, they got a closer, Mark Melancon, and he's going to solidify the bullpen, stabilize everything in the back end of the game. Yeah, we're still got it. And then 2018, Bochy's last year, was like, oh, wow, this is the end of an era. And it started to wear off slowly but surely. And now it's all but gone. I mean, it's not even close.
It's 10 years.
It's dusty now. It's got dust.
I feel like the Warrior title in 2022 wore off so quickly. I don't even know. I don't even know who would even compare to it in terms of like. I'm not saying everybody, because I know there are a lot of fans that are like, dude, we had one of the greatest runs or whatever. I'm not saying that they think it's over or anything like that, but like they're still happy and grateful and satisfied.
Well,
but I do feel like this championship for 2022, the aura and just the overall happiness has been gone for multiple years.
Well,
it feels like the fastest I've seen one evaporate the aura of any championship ever. And maybe I'm just stuck in the Warrior bubble.
No, you're not stuck in the Warrior bubble. I don't think you're stuck in the Warrior bubble. However, that aura and that championship pixie dust was gone. And I hate bringing it back to this, but it was gone in October of 2022. So they won a championship in June. You had July, you had August, you had September. Then you get to October for training camp. You got 4 months. And you know what? They went to Japan, had a good time out there in Japan, played the Wizards. Preseason game, they came back. We had that fateful Wednesday afternoon at Chase Center where we had an altercation between Draymond Green and Jordan Poole. And then it got nastier a couple days later because a video got released by TMZ. And from that moment, sure, we talked championship here and there. Yeah, how cool was it to see Steph Curry in game four, parquet floor. Wow, game four was historic. Beat him in game five. The Chicas had paid on the parquet floor in game six. But I think for the fans, for a lot of people, it was easy to kind of move on from that because you're like, well, what's going on with the team? There's obviously drama and turmoil within the organization or within the locker room. And Steve Kerr and company have done a great job to try to contain that, right? Mm-hmm. To try to keep that culture full of joy. And then you get to that season, you lose to the L.A. Lakers. First loss in a Western Conference series under Steve Kerr.
With that, wow.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. With Steph, Clay, and Draymond starting, right? So the way they lost to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Because obviously when the way they lost to the Lakers, Poole was not the same player he was.
Lonnie Walker.
But also you had Wiggins. He had to leave the team for 2 months.
True.
You know, then he cracks a rib in game five or whatnot, has to suck it up for game six. He was obviously compromised. JK goes back to the bench. He wasn't happy about things. Yeah. It was a disaster. Jermichael Green, for whatever he had an attitude, it was a disaster. And then you get into the next season. And all of a sudden, there's the Klay Thompson situation with the contract extension and whether or not he's going to be here long term. And they had that aura. Then you had, bench Klay, this and that. Then Wiggins is up and down. And you get Kuminga coming back. And now all of a sudden, he goes to the coach and he's saying, look, get me out of here. I want to play. I didn't play the last 18 minutes against Denver. We Jokic hit a three. And we had to cancel the Doobie Awards that day because the way Denver Nuggets came back on a 25-4 run. And so that championship aura, yeah, it dissipated fairly quickly. In my opinion, it was gone within 4 months.
That's crazy, though. Isn't it?
It is, but when you dive deep into it, you see how it's not that crazy.
Well, I think that I was in denial because I thought that they still had the pixie dust. Like, I did. And so maybe I was not willing to accept the reality of then. But in retrospect, what you're saying is accurate. I mean, but I wonder if there are a segment of fans that are willing to, like, just kind of give them a pass for all the good stuff that they've done. Yeah, they haven't, you know, they haven't hit on these draft picks.
Right.
They haven't swung big deals, right? But they have given us a lot. Are you willing to give them a pass? And do you trust that they can get it right? And let's say, like, this trade deadline right. comes and goes, right? They don't swing any significant deal. Are you willing to say, like, hey, like, they deserve the benefit of the doubt to wait till the offseason, which is what you've been kind of talking about, where there might be some more options? Because I don't think for a lot of people that's going to be an answer that they're willing to accept.
Yeah, it won't be. It won't be. We know the answer to that. Their fans are going to go crazy if they don't make anything happen. And, you know, people pay for season tickets. They want to see a winner, and we've all been spoiled by the wins. But when I look at this deal between the Jazz and the Phoenix Suns, I start putting my thinking cap on, thinking, what the hell is going on in Phoenix?
I didn't know what to make of the trade.
So the Jazz are consolidating their first-round picks acquired in the Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell trades, including the 2031 unprotected first from the Phoenix Suns. Utah has 11 first-round picks in the next 7 years. They're obviously rebuilding. And I don't think, you know, they signed Lowry Markkanen for whatever reason, but they're not planning to win. So the Phoenix Suns are making an aggressive move. They trade their 2031 unprotected first-round pick to the Utah Jazz for three first-round picks. The Suns are acquiring the least favorable first-round picks of the Utah Jazz in 2025 of Cleveland, Minnesota, 2027 of Cleveland, Minnesota, and 2029 of Cleveland, Minnesota, of course, with the Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert deals. But there are also rumors that there could be more teams involved in a potential trade that involves the Phoenix Suns. Obviously, they're looking at Jimmy Butler. And Bradley Beal's not so happy right now coming off the bench in Phoenix. He obviously made it stink, and he said, look, I hold all the cards. I have a no-trade clause. So be careful what you wish for, or I dictate the terms of where I go. And it could be Milwaukee. But it could be another team involved. Could be a four-team trade involved because this is complicated with the CBA. So I would tell Warrior fans to hold your horses for a second. There could be some action around these parts.
Do you want Bradley Beal? Is that what you're insinuating?
I'm not saying Bradley Beal, but what's going on with Kevin Durant?
Well, wouldn't they make... Okay, because I don't know what to make of this deal. Isn't this deal meant to be made to add to Kevin Durant?
Maybe.
Phoenix?
Maybe. But I'm hearing whispers that KD may not be the happiest down there. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe KD could be had.
Okay.
Who knows?
So now begs the question, okay, if he can be had, let's just...
I don't know. This is reckless speculation. I'm playing the Sports Talk radio game.
No, I love it.
The hypotheticals.
You know I love hypotheticals.
David Durkio, I know you do.
Me and Jim Harbaugh, hypotheticals. Is there any scenario where Kevin Durant comes to the Warriors and Draymond Green's still here? Because that's the elephant in the room.
Hypotheticals.
I don't think that could be the case. I could be wrong. But I don't think
that
could be the case. But we're also speculating.
You bring up Draymond Green.
Forget the finances for a second, because they'll figure all that out.
Okay.
But dude, I'm thinking about the Dalton Johnson yesterday when we had him on.
He spent 10 minutes talking about all the things that he's done over the last couple years, you know, that have on the floor, availability, technicals, issues with teammates, and all these things that have attributed to why they're where they're at.
Right. Well, Dalton brought up saying that he believes there's a 99.8% chance that Draymond Green finishes his career with the Golden State Warriors. And I pressed him and I said, hey, DJ, did you feel like that with Klay Thompson the previous season? And he's like, you know, it's a great question. I probably did. And so I think with Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob and seeing where this team is at, I don't think anything's off the table. And when I don't think anything's off the table, I don't think they'd be afraid to trade Draymond Green if there's a trade that presents itself to getting a player back or whatnot. I think everything's on the table for the Golden State Warriors. I really do.
No matter who is out the door, if they bring Kevin Durant back, I will be rocking my town KD jersey the very next day.
Well, I don't know if that's going to happen.
No, I'm just saying hypothetically. But I would love that.
But would it surprise me if there was been conversations behind closed doors about Kevin Durant or anything like that? Maybe not.
I think they're speculating and
the Warriors are
coming up with algorithms to acquire lots of guys like that.
The Warriors are coming. This is how it works. You look at a player, you see if they're available, you make the phone call, because what does it hurt to make the phone call? Hey, is that guy? You don't think the Warriors are getting calls right now saying, hey, what's the deal with Steph Curry? You guys think about doing the unthinkable? And Dunleavy probably says, hell no, we're not trading him. Click.
I would exhaust everything for Kevin Durant
But is that going to help you win at this point?
Probably not, Bonte, but you know what? Like, it's infinitely more watchable.
We'll see.
Goal watchability at that point, or is it to win? Because I think Dalton said yesterday, like, why would this team, I think we have this somewhere, why would this team go all in with all these assets just to get, like, I think his words were the 9 seed.
Right.
But, like, if you go all in for Kevin Durant and Steph and Kevin Durant, get this team to maybe the 7 seed, maybe they get out of the box, but they don't play a second round of the playoffs. Like, what's, then we're going to be sitting here, you know, in a few months going, like, what's the point?
Well, here's
also,
what
we have no future.
Still
now.
Be people mad.
No doubt. Well, people will always be mad if you don't win at all. But, like, the 15th pick, hypothetically, the 15th pick.
There's people mad when you do win it all.
But, like, the 15th pick isn't going to change this organization.
Warriors won a couple championships. People were pissed if they win the finals MVP. I'm like, dude, get a grip. He got the Larry O'Brien trophy. He's got a ring.
It was like George Costanza and Seinfeld. Yeah, in 6 games.
Hey, look, I would say, KD, Steph, I'll figure out the rest. That sounds reckless and short-sighted. I'm telling you right now, I think a lot of Warrior fans are with me, and they'd say, you know what, we'll just figure out the rest.
It'd be funny to see that switch up, because I know in real time what it was when it came to Kevin Durant. But,
help me, Kevin. You're our only hope.
But as we're talking about the Warriors here on the Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Freeman's Appliance, come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. The Phoenix Suns are cooking up something. And I don't know exactly what they're cooking up. Obviously, Jimmy Butler's a name, and that may be it. But I think there's some other teams involved here. And I'm just speculating. It's regular speculation. Because I don't subscribe. When I hear fans tell me, Bonte, the Warriors are just sitting on their butts in the front office, I say, come on, man. You think Joe Lacob and company are sitting there? They went out there and made a move for Kelly Oubre Jr., panicking about Klay Thompson. They made the move for Kelly Oubre Jr. You think Joe Lacob and Mike Dunleavy are comfortable with what things are, with the way things are going right now? You think Steph Curry's comfortable with the way things are coming? Hey, stop. The Warriors are working the phone lines, folks. Now, you could call them the Giants and say, well, they can't close. I've seen the Warriors close a lot better than the Giants have over the last 7 years. And that's a fact, Jack. So I don't want to hear that stuff right now.
that's a fact, Jack.
Come on, man. Let's buckle up. This is why I keep telling y'all, adversity. Relax. Let these guys do what they do. I'm kind of with Steph Curry with the Twitter fingers, man. Just chill for a second. They are working on things. If something may happen, something may not happen. But it ain't the end of the world. I can guarantee you that something will happen over the next 6 months with this organization if nothing happens at the deadline. I can tell you that much.
KD and Steph coming back together would be like the unfinished business that we all think we need. It's closing the loop, right?
That would be insane. That would be insane.
I don't know how much winning they would do, but boy, it would be so much more fun. Look, rapid fire. Line them up right now. 8-8-8-9-5-7-9-5-7-0. Would you do what I did? Would you just like, hey, I don't really even care what it costs to bring KD back.
No, I'm serious. If you're not winning games, you'd be happy with that?
I just want to see it. I trust KD and Steph. They'll do something. If I was in closeout games in the box and I knew I had Steph and KD, I'll take my chances.
I'm going to mark this and save it. We'll get to Donna's sake. I'm going to mark this and save it so that way if it does happen and then the Warriors start struggling, we could play the, well, you said this then versus that.
That's
now.
Fine.
So we'll have fun with that.
Mark my words.
But she's asking, pivot, don't panic. You can always pivot.
Presented with new information that Kevin Durant's plantar fasciitis injury.
Journalists on the beat can't get away with pivoting and not panicking, but damn it, Shasky, these fans can.
Somebody's got to be slippery.
But seriously. Kevin Durant, the Phoenix Suns are 21-21. They ain't doing much winning down there. He's got Devin Booker.
It's the Spider-Man meme.
We're the same team. He's got Bradley Beal. He's got Nunn. He's got players down there, and they're 21-21. Let's go to Don and Zach. Don, what's up?
Hey, guys. So I got two questions, one for both of you and then one strictly for Bonte. The first one is I see, like, Mike Brown and Steve Kerr similar, right? I know Steve has more accolades overall, but I also see, like, with Keon Ellis, I kind of equate him to Moody, where there's some questions all the time on why he's not getting more minutes or he's not playing. Do you guys think that there needs to be a new voice in that locker room? Do they need something to – the way Doug Christie has kind of, like, reinvigorated the Kings, right? Do they need that? And then for you, Bonte, because I'm having a really hard time tonight, do I wear – smiling Bonte t-shirt or praying Bonte t-shirt? Because it's really hard for me to figure out which one.
Oh, man. You got to wear the smiles, man. I'm a happy guy. Life is good.
Praying, it is, sir.
I mean, I guess we're praying for good health.
Are you a Kings fan? I'm very confused.
This is my boy, Don and Sack. He's got the t-shirt of me on the face. They got stickers of me up there.
So you're the one that bought the t-shirt.
Yeah, no, he made the t-shirt, I think.
Yeah. This is Chetty House After Party t-shirts. We rocking them.
Yeah, ESPN 1320, D-Lo KC, the Chetty House is popping. They got their YouTube chat open. We don't have ours open. You should wear the smiley face. You won't need prayers tonight, Sacramento. You're going to get your ass kicked anyway. God won't help you tonight. But, you know, just smile a little bit. That'll be good. Talented Foster City, what's up?
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, it's good, man.
Good. All right. I'm coming from a different perspective. I moved to the Bay in 05 to work for the Warriors. I've been a season ticket holder since 2007. So I've seen a lot, been through a lot. There have been four constants in this run, and we should be thankful. We got 4 chips in 10 years. We should be thankful.
I agree.
Steph, Dre, Kerr, and until this year, Clay were the constants. We know what it takes to put around those guys to win. And this front office has failed to either put the right pieces around them for the last 4 years or make business decisions like letting a $30 million contract expire, not getting anything for it, to give them the opportunity to continue to try to get that fifth. The front office is not, I know you were just touting Kelly Oubre as a good move. Like you
No, I didn't say it was
Kelly
a good move. I didn't say it was a good move.
Okay, desperate move. Desperate move.
Yeah, I didn't say it was a good move.
Clay Torres
move. So I get getting a player to try to fill in for him. And you know what? We ran a poll on this show 3 months into the season. Yeah. Jonathan, stay on the line, Jonathan. And we say, who would you rather ride with in the future, Wiggins or Oubre Jr.? 77% of votes said Oubre Jr. because Wiggins was scrolling at the time. Like the Tsunami Poppy was a thing for a second in the Bay Area.
Tsunami Poppy.
We listen. We love to blow kisses to the wind, but those people don't watch ball. Look, it's just been incredibly challenging to watch this front office. I'm guessing they're making business decisions that are poor business decisions. It's like a startup. You burning the ships, or are you going to try to like piecemeal this way into success down the road? And they haven't made a decision one way or the other. They're playing both sides of the fence, and it never works. And now it's just been this compounding effect of lack of decision making or taking a risk that we're in this like middling ground, which is just, you know, creating poor product on the court, which no one wants to see. I'd rather watch the 06 Warriors that busted their ass and played hard and competed knowing what we had versus, like, we just don't know what we're doing. It just seems like there is no plan in place.
Well, there's a plan. It just hasn't come to fruition. Their plan was to go out and get a star this past offseason. They didn't do that for whatever reason.
Well, I do think, and I share his frustration, the whole CP3 expiring contract, I get why they didn't acquire something back, because it does freeze because you hit that apron.
You get it under the apron, yeah.
You freeze everything. But, like, you basically traded Jordan Poole for nothing.
Yeah,
and
no
they
doubt.
Gave away a first-round pick.
Oh,
like,
I understand.
It was a bad transaction.
I understand that.
It was a bad transaction.
But you fix your finances, which nobody cares about because they're not spending any money unless it's tickets or whatnot. But they're not investing money into the player salary. And for some, and so like I said, look, I'll stop paying the tax when we stop winning. And why would you pay the tax for a team that didn't even make it past the play-in tournament? So I understand, like, letting Chris Paul walk and getting under the apron. And look, I miss Jordan Poole a lot. I didn't want him. I remember the day he got traded. I walked out of swim class with Baby Chance. There's 4 missed calls from you. There's another couple from another source. And I'm saying, what the hell's going on here? And you're like, they ain't traded Jordan Poole. I'm saying, wait, what? I'm in the shower with Baby Chance washing her hair. I'm saying, wait, they did what? CP3? Man, that was what a time. What a time.
And then he didn't get off the bench
in the playing game.
Oh,
my God. Yeah.
They went to Pajemski. Yep. I lost my mind then. I was like, what was the point of getting him?
Yeah, what was the point?
Not that he's, like, still good or anything. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
What was the whole point?
Anthony Slater is going to join us. We'll talk more trades with him. Brian Getzeiler joins Steiny and Guru. He always says we should steal him because he's a good guest. We should steal him one day. Draymond Green. Because everybody's bringing up Draymond Green, this trade market, can't trade him, because I get a lot of people are down on Draymond. Here's what Getzeiler had to say about Draymond.
All you need to know is that if they wanted to trade Draymond, there'd be a market. You'd bring in a first-round pick. You would if you wanted to trade him. So I don't beat them up on that contract. Listen, I think they went wrong in a bunch of different spots here. The Draymond Green contract is not one of them. Keeping him and Curry together, as long as you decided you wanted to, Curry to be the centerpiece and to continue to try to create a title contender around Curry. Frankly, Draymond Green's essential, and the contract's a fair number for the player that he is, even right now.
You guys agree with that?
That he's worth a first-round pick and it wasn't a bad deal?
That he could get a first-round pick and it wasn't a bad deal.
I have no idea what other teams view him as in terms of first-round, but it does feel like the mid to late first round picks are so devalued in the NBA, it's tough for me to know.
Right.
Like, does Vucevic go for the 18th overall pick? Or does he go for a couple of twos and a player swag? I don't know. So I don't know what Draymond would get. And the thing with Draymond is you got to know what you're getting when you get him, which is the full package. And I don't know how many teams would do that.
We'll see. We'll see.
You know, supply and demand is crazy. Like, mm-hmm. there might be a couple of teams, but if the other, you know, if they know right. there's only two teams involved,
no doubt.
Why would you surrender a large amount of capital? I don't know. It's just...
We'll see.
I don't think extending Draymond was the worst of all their decisions. There's a combination of about seven or eight of them. I would say it is one of them, though.
It is a lot of moves that, you know, and a lot of unfortunate, you know, the injuries. Injuries play a big role in this. The injury to James Wiseman, he may not even be good, but we didn't get to really see him at full strength. He's, you know what I'm saying? I feel bad for the kid.
Well,
but I saw an ascending rookie, James Wiseman. You know, you could say he was empty calories, but I saw a guy who was raw, who was getting buckets and starting to get better with double-doubles. I think Slater brought it up a few months ago. Like, I think people forget. He was becoming a solid player, but he got hurt. He got hurt. What's coming up on the game, presented by Chilton Auto Body, Anthony Slater, our 95.7 Game Insider. Of course, great writer for The Athletic. He's also a Warriors insider for The Athletic. He'll join us on the other side on the River Islands guest line as we talk more about the Golden State Warriors and the state of this franchise. We got more sound from Steve Kerr, of course. All that coming up here on The Roast.
Hey, yo, it's Zeusky, man. Listen to the 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky. Oh, baby.
Looking at ESPN right now, Mad Dog is mad. Mark Andrews hasn't spoken to the media following the loss. Now, I don't know if I'm irate over that, but I think it is pretty weak of Mark Andrews to duck the smoke post-game in Buffalo. And then at the end of the season exit meetings, you duck the smoke again in Baltimore. Huh, you imagine if Lamar Jackson did that, or Josh Allen did that, or Joe Burrow did that? Hell, I went crazy when Debo didn't do it in Green Bay. Mark Andrews? Can't face the music after your fourth quarter fumble and drop? It's pretty weak. Pretty weak in my book.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty, pretty, pretty weak. I get being mad and sour, but it's also called being a professional and facing the music. Part of the job. Come
on,
man.
I feel like there are certain times when you actually can be a more endearing individual if you're just honest and
just
get it over with. You're allowing it to linger longer by, you know, avoiding it.
Yeah. I feel like they're a little bit soft.
Oh. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. He's not soft, but it is a little weak. I think it's a weak move. What's not a weak move is trying to qualify for the second annual 95-70 game knockout tournament at Chase Center. Get some shots up at Chase. Maybe you'll make one. Maybe you'll make more threes than the Warriors in the first half the other night against the Boston Celtics. The contest will start January 27th, go for 3 weeks, so you'll have plenty of chances to win. That is next week. That is on Monday, folks. Monday. Listen in the 8 o'clock hour, the 12 o'clock hour, 4 p.m. hour starting Monday, January 27th for your chance. Each show will have a slot to give away each day for 3 weeks. You have to be 18 to win and be a California resident. More details still to come, but qualifying starts on Monday and we'll go on for 3 weeks here at 95.7 The Game. All right, let's bring in Anthony Slater. Anthony Slater of The Athletic, Warriors Insider. He joins us courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line as all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop and a home game for Anthony Slater? Doesn't have to make the 2-hour drive down to Chase Center because you just roll up out of bed at around 6 o'clock, make the 5-minute drive to Golden 1 Center, and check out the Warriors and the Kings. And the Warriors right now, let's just start it off before we get to trades and the state of the team. Slater, who's in, who's out as you say good morning to you, brother?
Who's playing? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Am I playing?
If you could. I mean, can you hit a three?
I might. My three's not too bad.
About 25% shooter. Will you hustle like Guy Santos? Will you hustle as much as Guy Santos?
I will hustle, but my endurance is lacking these days.
Next question. Are you 6'8"? I don't think you are. I don't think you checked this box.
Steve Kerr does love three-guard lineups, so I'm about 6'4".
Oh, no.
I'm about 6'4".
There you go. Starting at the three tonight. Although your natural position is a four. Half the roster at this point. Sorry. To answer your question, Draymond Green is out. Brandon Pajemski remains out. Kyle Anderson is out. And Jonathan Kuminga is out. That's it.
Mm. What's going on with that? You referenced it right there. You know, and we had Steve Kerr on Willard and Dibbs yesterday. For those that missed it, it's on the Odyssey app and the YouTube page. But he was basically asked the question, and I'm paraphrasing, Dibbs said, hey, is it by necessity that you've experimented with Moses Moody there? And you know, do you like what you see? And he said, yeah, it's a little bit out of necessity. But also, we think we can kind of get something out of that because of so many fours in the league are now stretch fours, and so they're standing out more on the three-point line. What do you like about Moses Moody playing the four, and how does that kind of complicate things with Kuminga and Draymond and, I guess, potentially Kyle Anderson, given that now there's a logjam at that position?
Well, I would say, number one, I like that it gets Moses Moody matched up on bigger assignments, because I think at this point, and we used to say this about Clay, remember Clay became a power forward in his last couple of years, it's easier for him to defend bigger, kind of tougher guys rather than, you know, your quicker guards. Laterally, he's a little bit slower, but, you know, he's smart and he's long and he's stronger than he looks. He's got kind of broad shoulders. So I think it makes sense defensively, and yeah, then it juices the rest of their lineups to have more spacing, because he's a legitimate spacer, which they don't have a lot of. 39% from three, shot looks good, and I think on opposing scouting reports, like, you know, I think opposing coaches say, hey, you got to get out on that guy, which is what spacing really is. Can you draw the defense out? As far as the logjam, which it is a logjam, and it has been, a lot long, you know, before Moses Moody started getting minutes at the four, to me, the way you break up this logjam is you get a stretch five. This roster's clearly lacking a stretch five is something they've at least acknowledged behind the scenes for a while now, but they haven't remedied. But if you remedy it and you get a stretch five, to me, that you know, really adds a legitimate stretch five, a guy that'll hit, you know, good percentage of threes, shoots him a lot. Obviously, Vucevic is a name we've discussed, but to me, that allows you to play a lot more various combinations where you then suddenly don't have to just pigeonhole everyone into the four.
Look, we don't know what the trade market is going to present here, who's available, who's not. We heard some of the big names. You mentioned Vucevic, and maybe there's a Zach LaVine. We know Jimmy Butler's on the block here. But what if the Warriors can't make a deal or don't make a deal before the February 6th deadline, Anthony? Could they sell Steph, or have they sold Steph on taking a step backwards if it meant taking a few steps forward later on, like this summer or next season?
Well, I mean, the 48-hour period prior to the deadline and what Steph is told is available and what Steph is told was or wasn't acted on will matter, right? He needs right. He said it in his own subtle, like, diplomatic way, but he wants to know that Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob and the Warriors front office is attempting, you know, to make smart but, you know, additive moves. And, you know, they continue to message out that they're, you know, searching on the open market, and they're trying to help this roster, even if it's just not some, you know, unbelievable, you know, star level boost that we believe gets them back into contention, because I don't think anyone thinks that's actually out there. I think they'll try. So your question is, if they don't, it's going to be about how they sell that to Steph, and then also, you know, like, even what maybe they're hinting to him could be available this summer. You know, on a bigger fish, bigger picture way, and he would know better than we would know, and we'll see. And we'll see. I know how that will land locally if they don't do anything at the deadline. But as you mentioned, it matters a lot more what Steph thinks than what the fans think.
If I just took kind of like the big fish trades off the table, what about some of their own redundant parts, some of the specialists on this team? Could you see them selling off a couple pieces or flipping a couple of pieces off this bench? I mean, there's a lot of guys that are either one-way defenders or one-way shooters with no defense. Do you see any of those guys getting moved?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're what, like $7 million above the tax, something like that. Like, they're basically a Buddy Hield contract above the tax, because they went into the tax to get Buddy Hield. That was like the last move they made this summer. Buddy's got, you know, it's a 4-year deal, but there's outs after year two, so it's not as long as it seems, but it's still, you know, longer term money beyond the summer. So is Kyle Anderson at this point, 3-year deal. You know, do you see them maybe trying to get off some of that longer term money to reopen a little bit of flexibility? It's possible. Do they try to duck the tax? Maybe. You know, that's not gonna, again, that's not gonna necessarily land well locally if they're just saying, hey, you know, Joe Lacob's saving some money. That was like the main goal that has been accomplished at the deadline. But to answer your question, could I see them doing it, especially if the next few weeks go really poorly? Sure. Yeah, that's what typically, you know, lottery teams do, is they make you know, financial and roster flexibility moves for the long term.
Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line on 95.7 game. Circling back to Saturday night, the Wizards, they've won 6 games. They're terrible. They're going to be in play for Cooper Flagg. But Jordan Poole came back to town. It's always a little sentimental, obviously. He helped to win a championship a couple seasons ago. And we know what happened that last season when he was here. We don't need to revisit that. But what I'm going to revisit is his comments after the game. He said, hey, man, I love those guys over there. I love most of those guys over there, which triggered Draymond to reply to Mark Spears' tweet saying, I am really sorry. What were your thoughts on that whole interaction there with Jordan Poole saying what he said to the media, and then, of course, Draymond Green replying to the tweet?
Yeah, I mean, it's Draymond saying what we all know, and anyone who's been behind the scenes the last couple of years understands. Like, he's very regretful of how that went down. You know, and I think his pride kind of got in the way of, like, the immediate apology, and there's been so much over the last couple of years, but I think we've all seen that had a spiraling effect on the last few seasons. And if, you know, it clearly, like, if he could take back that decision, to me, he would probably take that back over, like, even the Gobert, the Nurkic, or name your other situations, especially because it's an in-house, it's a teammate. He's talked about how it really killed his leadership voice over a couple of years, because it was just hard to suddenly, like, be viewed as a leader in the locker room when that happened. So, he acknowledged it publicly, which I know, like, created the news cycle, but we've known he's understood the ramifications of that choice for a long time now.
His injury, the calf, is that related to the back? Is this Achilles? Like, I just, how severe is this? I mean, clearly it's a big injury for him. There's no doubt. But I'm saying, like, is this an injury that's going to linger the whole season?
I mean, it kind of has for a while now, right? I mean, we know he left the game, but that wasn't like just like the first time he's been on the injury report for a calf issue. And he's also been on the injury report for the back issue. And then it was labeled as a disc, that same disc that was the issue that caused, you know, the really long-term calf injury from a couple seasons ago. They're calling it mild at this point, reevaluating a week. To me, that signals at least an encouraging level from them that they believe he'll be back soon-ish, not necessarily in a week, but not 2 months from now. But to answer your question, yeah, I mean, he's back in calf. continually listed on the injury report really over the last like month and a half at this point. So it's not necessarily a good sign. I do think they're smartly, you know, pulling the brakes on him right now, maybe trying to reset his body, giving him a little bit of time off. And we'll see how long that lasts. But to me, the most important thing for the team without him, they need to survive without him over the next several weeks. And then for him, I would almost aim post All-Star break. If they're still in a decent spot, maybe they make an addition or two at the deadline and he can get his body right and active and kind of ready to charge post All-Star break, then maybe like that's probably the most optimistic way to say they can maybe save their season.
Kuminga. I haven't heard much of him on the trade block, and hopefully, you know, he was ascending, no doubt. The last couple of years, he's played some good basketball, especially since December 1st, where he was averaging over 21 a game. I'm a little surprised it's taken him a while to get back on the floor. I'm hearing that he may not get back on the floor till February, and right now it feels like that may be the bigger loss to Draymond Green, which sounds crazy, right? But what Kuminga provides offensively for this team, when his team has been at the bottom five, they're alongside the Wizards and the Utah Jazz and all these bottom feeders when it comes to offensive efficiency, offensive rating, and field goal percentage. Do we have any idea when Kuminga is going to be back?
It's going to be a bit. I mean, look, I see him on a daily. He's been very visible. He's out of the walking boot, but he's still, you know, the ankle's still wrapped up when you see him. He's still not, like, I haven't seen him even in a jog or on the court at all at this point. From his standpoint, it would make sense to, like, take his time and, like, make sure the ankle's right and don't just, like, you know, hour back and play 12 minutes because you feel like they need you on a given night. I mean, like, this is part of them not giving him a contract extension. He needs to kind of look out for himself a little bit at this point and, you know, make sure he's ready, you know, to hit the ground running when he does come back, which to me means that, like, later stages of the rehab, and I'd probably call him in the middle stages right now. The initial stages were, like, you know, he's in crutches, he's in a boot. Now he's to the point where he's, like, walking around. You see him on the bench, like, he's in regular shoes, but he's not on the court. To me, once he gets on the court, you can maybe start putting the countdown down, and maybe when we get into some practices and shoot-arounds, we'll see, he's playing 3-on-3, he's playing 5-on-5. Right. But we're not even – I wouldn't even say we're necessarily a week or two away from that. So, yeah, I mean, we're talking – we won't see him for sure until February, and I would probably be talking more – mid-February All-Star break range would be my, by the way, prediction, speculation, whatever you want to call it.
Wow.
That's a major
how
blow.
How long would that absence be?
That's since January 4th. He got hurt January 4th.
No, I'm saying if he goes
Memphis.
To February,
yeah.
That's like 6-7
yeah,
weeks.
That's 6 weeks.
Jeez Louise.
6 weeks.
I mean, look, the reality is he was very high up in the air and he came down. And,
no doubt.
You know, the ankle. I mean, it's a bad ankle sprain. That's what it is.
No, yeah. I know. It's just, it's you're 100% correct.
It just couldn't happen at the worst time for him. He's playing good basketball. We're figuring out who he is. They need him offensively because defensively their rating is still up there. But offensively, they can't buy a bucket, which we saw the other night, Anthony, against the Boston Celtics. 3-of-24 in the first half from three. And part of the reason why they're shooting so many threes is because they don't have too many players who could beat their man off the dribble. That, to me, right now, Slater's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, the most schematic way to look at it. The way I look at it, like, tonight and obviously last game and over the next foreseeable future, I would say you don't have your second-best player, Draymond. You don't have who I'd probably say was, what, fourth-best player? I mean, you know, we'll have Wiggins in there. Mm-hmm. And then Pajemski, at least prior to the season, you would be considering him fifth, sixth most important player. They haven't had him now 12 games. Yeah. So you're talking about four of your top five or six, three of your top five or six are now out. Like, that's hard for anybody in the league to win, especially a team who we already consider kind of maybe shakier depth-wise than we thought.
Anthony, we get so jaded when the team wins this much. I feel like you get jaded, too, if your team loses for a long period of time. But, like, we're spoiled, right, Warrior fans? Like, I get it. But as someone who's emotionless when it comes to this team, and you look around the history of the league, I was asking Bonte, I'm like, man, I feel like that championship aura, like when you win a title, it should last for multiple seasons. Boy, it felt like it dissipated. Like the one from just 2022 feels like it's completely gone, and maybe it evaporated, you know, in the preseason with the punch. I don't know. You could pick different points. Like, from afar, how would you explain to Warrior fans how to come to grips with what you're watching right now if no trade comes through as you're watching these games every night and you don't get a young Kuminga to glom onto and you just got Steph and there is no Draymond? What would be your advice to them in terms of how to get satisfaction from watching these Warriors?
Oh, man. you're probably going to have to buckle up for the next 5 years or so. And then, you know, you look around, and I'm not necessarily directly comparing them to these dynasties, but, you know, look at, like, the Patriots, you know, and, like, this little dry spell they've had to deal with. And, you know, now they got Drake May, and, you know, maybe, I don't know, they had kind of had a bad draft, I guess. You know, I don't follow football, like, you know, too intensely, but, you know, they're kind of probably have a 4 or 5 year stretch here where they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. The Spurs. Okay, obviously, they with the Kawhi Leonard pick, they kind of had that two-timeline expansion of it, but then they had to eventually hit the patch where they became a lottery team for several straight seasons. And, you know, they struck gold. They got the number one pick in a year of, like, I could have made the Victor Wembanyama pick. Y'all could have. Like, that wasn't some, like, unbelievable find. They got the number one pick in a generational draft, and now they're on the rise again. Let's say they didn't get that pick. Let's say they got even the number two pick in that draft, the number five pick, whatever. Their rebuild would be looking very elongated. So you're going to probably have to get lucky in the future with the picks. And, you know, maybe something will materialize. They're still – the Warriors are still somewhat of a destination for free agents just because of market. And the brand is still better. You know, you mentioned, like, maybe the championship war has gone a little bit. You still go around the league. Like, the Warriors still have, like, a brand recognition. I know a lot of that's Steph, but he's still around. He'll be around for a few years. So it's possible they lure somebody in the next couple of years and change the situation. But, yeah, I mean, like, this is the life cycle in sports. And, you know, so, look, we could go back and we did last week, right, and review the various moves. If Anthony Edwards was suddenly on this team, everything would look different, but that's just not what happened. So they're entering probably a colder spell unless something kind of reverses.
What do you make of the Phoenix-Utah trade yesterday with the picks? Obviously, Phoenix is lining up to go get Jimmy Butler. But do you think there's any way, like, there could be three teams involved, could be four teams involved? Do you think there's any way? I know they ideally would want to pair Jimmy Butler with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, but something tells me something else is up down there in Phoenix. What did you make of that whole ordeal yesterday between the Jazz and the Suns?
I mean, it's pretty simple. They had, like, I think two available firsts. And because of that trade and because of step-in rules, now they have six available first to trade. Now, they gave up the 2031 unprotected Suns pick, which is probably the most appealing 2031 pick, like, in the league, considering where things are going. You know, you talk about a cold spell coming. It's coming in Phoenix. But this is flexibility. Sure, this was about trying to get Jimmy Butler, but that still is requiring Bradley Beal to accept a future destination. Because of it. So let's say Beal doesn't. You still now have six first to try to maneuver around at the deadline, try to get off Nurkic's contract, try to get a mid-tier, you know, a Cam Johnson, whatever. Oh, suddenly maybe they want to get him back, although they traded him for KD. But it's just about now, because everything in Phoenix right now is about now, especially with Durant's extension decision looming this summer. I mean, if you talk about domino effects with the Warriors, like, if it goes really poorly and if it continues to go poorly for Phoenix, you do wonder about Durant's future as immediately as this summer.
Would they possibly trade him before the deadline?
I don't think so. There's been no indication in that. I mean, just even the trade yesterday, right? That's not an indication that they're ready to hit the rebuild, right? That's an indication that they're going all in on this season. So no would be my very educated guess on it, but the league has stunned me before, and there's been stunning, like, deadline night, you know, night before the deadline type deals that we don't see coming.
Removing emotion, if you took Steph off the board, who has the most value on the Warriors team currently, league-wide, that could get you, whether it's capital or a player in return, who's the guy on the team that brings the most value to the table in an open market?
Yeah, you know, I would have said this summer, Pajemski. I kind of wonder where that has gone, just because, you know, the cost control, you know, like $3-4 million for the next few years under cost control. Kuminga is probably dependent on the team. There are teams out there, there's scouts I've talked to who are higher on him. Like, he's got a wide range of opinions on how good he can be. But if you find a team that thinks he's going to be a stud and is ready to pay him, he has a lot of value. But, you know, obviously his contract situation looms. And then the other one I'd say, Andrew Wiggins has become, like, a solid value contract again. I mean, 25 to 30-ish million under control next season. Really good 3-and-D wing that's going to shoot over 40% from three. He's going to guard your best perimeter player. You know, he's going to play 70 games. He's going to play 32 minutes a night. He's still only 29 years old. Like, that's that can fetch you something. But, you know, I don't know. Like, is it going to get you something better than Andrew Wiggins at this point? Maybe, but probably not. Depends on what you'd have to add picks to get something better.
How do the Warriors feel about Andrew Wiggins? Because he's had a solid season.
Absolutely.
I don't know if he could be your number two or whatnot in terms of offense scoring as we get into, who's the one, two, three, or four. But he's been very solid, to your point, Anthony. He does guard very well on the ball. He's had a solid season. But how do the Warriors feel about him and his long-term future here with the Golden State Warriors? Would they be willing to maybe part ways with him? Because he is your lone perimeter defender right now. He's going to have his work cut out for him tonight with Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray. Boy, the Warriors are so short-handed. But Wiggins, how do they feel about Wiggins?
They like him. I mean, the players like him. The coaches like him. The front office likes him. He's on a reasonable deal, especially now that his mind's cleared from his situation in the last couple of years. He's a guy you want on. It's part of why, some of those bigger swings right now, even the Jimmy Butler talks, are tougher for them to think about, because you'd almost have to put his contract in a deal. Yet, if you are in this win now situation, he's a win now player, right? Yeah. I mean, he fits the Curry timeline. He fits around Steph well. Now, is he the number two scorer Steph needs? No. But he's not necessarily being paid like a number two scorer. To answer your question, would they be willing to part for him? Potentially, if a monster becomes available, right? Obviously, we've talked about some of the names that do or don't fit that. But, that's probably more of a summer conversation, because I don't see one of those guys coming available in the next couple weeks. But he's not somebody they're shopping or looking to part with. But just contractually, you almost might have to eventually, if the right situation presents itself.
All right, Anthony. Take care. Have fun at the G1C, where they're charged up Sacramento Kings are rolling right now. 9-2
Y'all ain't coming up?
No, you know I'm always in the studio, Slater. You know that.
Nah, y'all should be courtside tonight at G1C.
I want to be courtside up there at the G1C. They love me up there. They got T-shirts of me up there, Anthony. They got me out putting T-shirts.
Y'all got a studio in the atrium of the arena.
Kyle Draper, Mike Bibby, DeSimo, they hog that studio up there. They hog it.
Hey, why can't Chase get something like that for you?
I like being out there at the gay house, Slates.
All right, you like the gay house?
I like the gay house.
The king has to have his own castle.
I like the gay house. I like chilling outdoors. Get some sunshine. Get to walk around a little bit. Get some fresh air. Come on. Got some nice little comfy chairs in there.
You have a moat separating him from the commoners. You know that.
I mean, come on, Slates. You've been out. You got to come by the gay house one day. Say hi.
I will. Next game. Who they got? They got a homestand coming up. I'll pick one of those.
They got the Bulls tomorrow. I'm off tomorrow. It's back-to-back load management. And then,
Wait, even your load management?
Yeah. Come on, man. I got to wake up with you.
You're not going to scout LaVine and Vucevic tomorrow night?
I'll be doing it from my couch.
There you go. Hey, by the way, 45% from three. Look at LaVine's
stats. I know it's been insane. I know it's. Come on, it's insane. All right, now that we're here, I know we're going to let you go. I got to ask this.
I shouldn't have even brought it up.
You shouldn't have brought it up because you know what, Warrior fans, they're listening to you, Slater. They love you. Or they hate you, or they love you, but they comment to whatever you tweet out there. Would the Warriors be willing to take on Zach LaVine's contract?
I think it's something that the idea that they've bounced around. It's a hefty one, and he does come with some questions about his availability and the sustainability of the shot. But he would certainly the way he's playing right now is exactly what they need. I wouldn't say it's a complete no, but. And the other question is what does Chicago want for him?
Right.
Chicago's always talk to anybody, they're a little bit funky to deal with. So we'll see. I'm not saying completely no on that.
Oh man, if he drops 40 tomorrow, Shasky, we need to go get Zach LaVine. That's Thursday night. That'll be for Friday's show. Anthony, have fun up there at the G1C, man. Always a good time up at Zach.
See you, buddy.
All right, fellas.
All right, Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest site. You imagine if Zach LaVine tomorrow night comes out to chase it or drops 40.
Yeah, then we'd acquire him and he'd drop 11. I mean, that's what happens.
He's getting $43 million this year. He's making 45 next actually $46 million next season.
Was he 28, 27?
He will be, he's 29 now.
29 now.
He'll be 30 next season, making $46 million. He's had multiple knee injuries. And he has a player option at the age of 31 for $48.9 million. So... Maybe it's Zach LaVine. Hey, Zach LaVine is. I was watching him the other night, man. I was like, damn. I already know what Warrior fans are thinking. He drops 40 on the Warriors. We're going to get so many Zach LaVine calls on Friday.
Who do you like, removing emotion and all that stuff, who has the most value for the Warriors outside of Steph Curry in the open market?
I would guess Kuminga, but right now maybe Andrew Wiggins. It may be Andrew Wiggins. Wiggins is a likable guy, low maintenance, doesn't say much. People love him, as Slater said. Yeah, I see it all the time. He doesn't bother nobody. Once the game's over, he takes a shower, goes to the podium if he has to, he goes home, plays with his baby girls, and plays video games.
So
that's
like
Andrew Wiggins.
If Kuminga's going to be out till mid-February, at some point in February, I mean, you're looking at 2 or 3 more weeks.
Oh, my God.
And Draymond is probably not going to play, he said, until after the All-Star break. That's another 2 or 3 more weeks.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, look, crazier things have happened, but I'm just playing the game here, and I feel like if I look at the schedule and I am trying to be logical, this is not shaping up well. How are the Warriors any different from a team like the Bulls? Other than having Steph Curry, and I get it, you have Steph Curry, so you feel different, but what do teams that aren't in contention do at the deadline in most sports?
They sell parts.
The parts that they feel aren't a huge, huge part of their future.
The buddies, the shooters. Now you have to ask yourself, is Kuminga part of your future, or is Andrew Wiggins part of your future?
Well, you would think they would already kind of know that. Otherwise, he would have been dealt prior.
But also teams.